Hello and welcome to the Heard It Here podcast, a production of the W.D. Hort & Sons Company. My name is Abby Bauer. I'm an editor for Hort's Dairyman magazine, and I am pleased to be with you for this episode of the Heard It Here podcast. Our conversation for this episode will focus on digital dermatitis. We will discuss what exactly digital dermatitis is, how it is spread, why it is a problem, and what can be done to prevent and manage this disease. Our sponsor for this episode of the Heard It Here podcast is Hoof Zinc, and we are thankful for their support. Now, I'm really excited to introduce to you our guest, Dr. Dorte Doepfer. Dr. Doepfer is a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine. She earned her Doctor of Veterinary Medicine degree at the University of Hanover in Germany, and then a PhD at Utrecht University in the Netherlands. Her research at UW-Madison focuses on diagnostics, molecular biology, and prediction of infectious diseases. Her lab has developed control strategies to prevent lameness, particularly lameness associated with digital dermatitis, also known as hairy heel warts in cattle. Welcome, Dr. Doepfer.
Thank you so much, Abby Bauer, for the invitation and the possibilities to air some thoughts about how prevention and control of digital dermatitis might go about.
Thank you. We're really looking forward to the discussion that will follow on this episode of the Heard It Here podcast. So to start this off, in your opinion, why is lameness a problem for dairy farmers?
Lameness in cattle, and that's dairy and beef, is one of the major population health-centered problems where you make a distinction between infectious causes of lameness and non-infectious causes of lameness, such as the metabolic causes. And digital dermatitis, as you were mentioning, is one of the infectious diseases affecting cattle all over the world. It's a global problem. And since I'm specialized as epidemiologist in population health, prevention of lameness is actually a priority if you want to make cattle as mobile as possible and therefore improve their well-being, their longevity, and productivity for all. Why does lameness continue to be a problem on dairy farms? Many people, the producers, herdsmen, are very focused on recognizing severe cases of lameness that are already prone to have more problems, additional and cumulative problems that require repeated sessions of hoof trimming or treatments that are laborious in their maintenance. And many producers and herdsmen and people who are out to find cases of lameness, they miss the subclinical cases of lameness and take no action, not on the severe ones, not on the subclinical ones, leading to all the protracted complications. And delayed actions, not adherence to standard operating procedures and protocols, those are all factors contributing to long-standing cases of lameness that are sometimes not reversible. And therefore, lameness is one of the causes for removal of cows from the herd, and that's a very unwanted consequence.
Such a big problem on dairies all around the world, just because we need those cows to be able to get around on four healthy feet and, you know, to eat, to get milked and do all the things that we need cows to do. So very, very important on our dairy farms.
I believe that, you know, with the size of the commercial dairy herds here in the Midwest, and I think all over the U.S., the size is increasing. That means that husbandry farms expand in terms of the area that cows are living in, and then they have to walk for longer distances. And that paired with walking surfaces that are not optimal, these are other causes and risk factors for lameness in larger dairy herds. And that trend is continuing.
Right. Many reasons why cows can become lame. Yes. Today, we're focusing mostly on digital dermatitis. So if you would, can you explain to us what exactly is this disease, and what causes it?
So the official wording is digital dermatitis or Mortellaro's disease. is a multifactorial disease with a strong bacteriological component. That is, several species of microbes are always associated with this infectious claw disease, leading to outbreaks of lameness. And this is a global problem, and particularly where intensive cattle husbandry takes place, such as in North America and in the United States particularly. And why have I focused on it? It is such a heart-wrenching condition to see cattle suffering from when they become extremely lame at an early age, dairy cows even before their first calving, around 12 months of age, around first insemination is when they show their first cases. And having seen that in so many countries, in so many regions and on many, many farms, without having a clear-cut solution to eliminate the problem, it requires a long-term approach. And I like these long-term approaches where you try to add all the pieces of the puzzle that you have in terms of prevention and control. And this has led to many years of trying to implement standard protocols for prevention and control in these cattle farms.
You certainly have done a lot of great work in this area. No, it's been a focus of your research and part of your career. So we thank you for that effort that you've put into it. How is digital dermatitis spread among cows?
I think the combination of environmental factors such as bad hygiene, mixing of cattle of different origin, seasonality here in the Midwest, particularly, it's the late summer and early fall season that is very prone to having severe outbreaks of digital dermatitis. The transmission is supposed to happen between cattle. And you have to imagine if a cow has an open lesion, one of these ulcerative wounds that are at the skin horn border, particularly in hind feet of cattle. With every step, she leaves a stamp of infectious material on the ground where the next cow can step into. And what causes it in terms of these bacterial and microbial species? It's always believed that the treponemes, and there are three different larger families or subspecies that are always found in these biofilms covering digital dermatitis lesions, they seem to be causally associated with DD, although there are more factors. Other microbes, such as Privotellas and Mycoplasma, are supposed to be part of Dichelobacter subspecies, are supposed to be part of digital dermatitis. And it's a weakening of the skin barrier. And you have to imagine that digital skin is like an interface between the environment that has hygiene risk factors together with the skin barrier being weakened by moisture and by physical impact of something poking, or that includes stockmanship. If I make my cattle make sudden turns or make them break suddenly, the skin in between the two claws, the two horn shoes, actually gets overstretched. That leads to microtrauma, and that is a port of entry for bacteria and for the settling of a biofilm. And from there, apparently, with skin maceration, you see digital dermatitis lesions forming. And then some cattle react with chronic forms of digital dermatitis, and the more chronic, there's a vicious cycle, the more often they get recurrence of lesions, and those can be spread to other cattle that are less affected. So it's a multifactorial happening and process. And still today, we believe that the so-called etiology, so the true cause in terms of one single species of bacteria, is not known to cause digital dermatitis. It must be this conjunction of a constellation of biofilm, skin maceration, and deterioration of the hygiene in the environment that leads to the formation of digital dermatitis.
Duarte, how can a farmer identify digital dermatitis in their herd?
Usually the first signs that a farmer will recognize is that some cattle go extremely lame. And it is not only a single case here and there, like you have with foot rot, where overnight you have severe lameness. This is a slower onset, but until it's perceived, it seems to be sudden. And sudden not in single animals, but in large groups of animals. And usually producers today are very aware that digital dermatitis exists, but they underestimate the degree of the problem because they focus very much on the severely lame cows and miss what is really happening, where the real problem, the real enemy for the efficient prevention and control of digital dermatitis are actually the subclinical cases, and those are the chronic repeat cases. Even if there's a degree of control over digital dermatitis on farms, people underestimate how many cows are really affected. And that leads to the fact that when risk factors pile up, you get these sudden outbreaks that seem to come out of nowhere. But if you're aware of all the chronic signs of disease, actually there's an explanation why during, let's say, late summer, early fall, why you have these big outbreaks. Another factor that how farmers identify it, usually where it's recognized, is in the milking parlor, conventional side-by-side herringbone type of milking parlors. That's where the lesions appear. Cows start doing like tipping their toes. They don't put full weight on the mostly hind feet. They abrade the tips of the feet because they don't want to overextend the fetlocks due to these very painful ulcerative lesions. But by the time that the cows display these huge wounds, it's already very late to really efficiently and finally treat them. So it would be better for people to be able to recognize the earlier stages of DD that are smaller ulcers and that are ulcers that are free of these signs of chronicity, like a callous aspect of hyperkeratosis around these ulcers, or even wart-like proliferative extra tissue formations, and on top of which you find these ulcers. And the moment that you see signs of chronicity, like hyperkeratosis and proliferation, it's even harder to combat DD. And so in my opinion, it's very important to train your eye to recognize the early stages of DD and to follow up on what happens to lesions after they are treated. Do they develop signs of chronicity or not? Because if you do see signs of chronicity, like the wart-like lesions, you're on the wrong path in terms of what you're doing to combat this disease. If you see a few ulcers every once in a while, and you recognize those, you treat them promptly, and you know that you cannot afford to wait for 2 weeks until a DD lesion is treated, you're on a better path towards a degree of control of DD. Usually, it is very unlikely that you eliminate the disease from your premises. It will always remain present. And if you are watchful and very intolerant of DD lesions with prompt treatments due to good recognition and detection mechanisms, then you can keep it under control and prevent these repeated outbreaks. And I think this is what farmers need to recognize and pay attention to. If you only treat the tip of the iceberg in terms of the very, very severe, mostly repeated lesions, you will never obtain sufficient control to prevent these major outbreaks of DD later.
Can certainly see the importance of staying ahead of the game here and focusing on prevention and being alert to watching for the disease in the herd. Yeah. As we continue this conversation, I want to thank our listeners for joining us. I would also like to thank HoofZinc for sponsoring this episode of the Herd It Here podcast. Do you want to improve hoof health? HoofZinc is a patented acidified liquid zinc chloride solution that has been university tested to outperform copper sulfate. Hoof zinc is great for your crops and aids in the production of co-digesting biogas. Start using hoof zinc today and visit hoofzinc.com to learn more. Dr. Dopfer, as we continue on our conversation, can digital dermatitis be treated if you have cows that are infected?
So yes, and we make a difference between the treatment of the individual cow. Upon detection of a lesion, you want to bring the cow safely into a restraining hoof trimming chute, can be upright or one of the tilt table chutes. with proper low stress stockmanship and handling procedures to avoid stress in the cows. You lift those feet and you clean the affected skin area with a disposable, for example, paper towel. Make sure that you clean out the little pouch that exists at the exit of the space between the claws, the so-called interdigital space. And then you apply a topical treatment agent. And it depends on in which stage of DD you are. If it's an early lesion where you have like a quarter size wound or ulcer, you could afford using a chelated copper gel or a disinfecting spray. If it is already a chronically affected lesion, then with these overgrowth of callous areas around it or a proliferative lesion that is wart-like, you might you will be disappointed because whatever you use to treat these lesions, they will never heal completely. They can over, it's a topical treatment, this individual cow treatment is called topical treatment, can only bring the cows into a state of disease where they can be subjected to a group preventive measure, which is a disinfecting foot bath. Today, what is still possible under the supervision and prescription of a veterinarian within a veterinary client-patient relationship is the application of tetracyclines topically on top of these lesions after the oral cleaning. And then there's the question, do we wrap these lesions after treatment or not? This is a question of practicality. If you're able to take off those light wraps within a day or two, then it's okay to wrap lesions after treatment. If you're not, then it would be better to leave the cows for about 30 minutes after topical treatment on a clean surface, let's say at the feed bunk that has been scraped. Because after all, a topical treatment, in my opinion, only has an effect for about 30 minutes. And what the topical treatment actually does is disrupt a kind of competition between bacteria that are in biofilms on top of the ulcerative lesions and the skin cells trying to repair themselves from this wound state. And what your topical treatment does is temporarily take away the biofilm to a degree and have the repairing mechanism of the skin gain that advantage of repair. And that's all you can expect. And every topical treatment of the individual cow, I think, in my opinion, should be followed by a well-designed and strategically used disinfecting foot bathing regimen in order to keep the lesions under control. It's very rare that a cow will heal to the point where she does have no macroscopically visible skin alterations due to digital dermatitis anymore, but you can keep those under control and prevent them from recurring into open wounds that cause lameness. One more aspect of that is when we talk treatment and prevention is a hoof trimmer aware of what the chronic consequences of digital dermatitis are. If you think about ulcers that are at the skin horn border in that heel aspect of the hind feet, and these lesions come and go and come and go, and in the wake of that recurrence they actually disturb the horn formation of the heel horn, then that leads to an overgrowth of the heel height in the claws, and that has consequences for the mechanical weight bearing of those feet. So you have to have a hoof trimmer informed about the endemic forms and consequences of digital dermatitis, able to perform a functional hoof trimming that is adequate in managing those mechanical consequences for the horn growth of these affected animals. So this is a conjunction. You have to have a team of people thinking together, what can we do to prevent DD? And a well-trained hoof trimmer is part of that.
Those recommendations certainly highlight the importance of working with both your veterinarian and your hoof trimmer to both treat and prevent digital dermatitis. Taking a step back, you mentioned there are different stages of DD. Could you briefly just explain what the stages of digital dermatitis are?
I certainly can. And there are different opinions about how to classify stages of digital dermatitis that range from saying there's a yes-no type of presence-absence of DD, or there is an absence, an acute active stage, and a chronic stage. And I like to classify DD lesions according to the M stages, M standing for mortal Laro's disease. And then M0 is the healthy state where you have clean, elastic skin at that skin horn border around the coronary band of any cow's foot. Then under the influence of bad hygiene and environmental risk factors, certain breeds like the Holstein Friesians seem to be more prone to develop DD. Under that influence of risk factors, you see small focal bacterial epithelial defects emerging. So the surface of the skin becomes indented. And those circular lesions are like the impression of a green split pea about that dimension. They come and go in different places within an interval of about 8 days. And from these M1 lesions, the very, very early lesions, under the cumulative influence of those risk factors, you see that suddenly there's explosive skin destruction resulting in those ulcers. And they can be at the same level of the skin, and we call them M2 lesions because they are 2 centimeters and larger in diameter, about quarter size. If we treat those with a topical treatment agent, like I described before, then these ulcers, they cover themselves with a scab that is very similar to our wound scab. If you have a little wound on your skin, then you obtain a wound scab. That scab, we call this healing stage M3. It's present during a couple of days, let's say 7 days to 10 days. Then that scab falls off, and what is left is a chronic form that we call M4 stage. And M4 stages come in different with different signs of chronicity, being hyperkeratosis, that little callous thickening of the skin, as if you were using a shovel to work in your garden, then you get that thickening of your own skin on your hands. Or it can, the sign of chronicity can grow out into a proliferation, which is a wart-like structure where those keratinocytes, the skin cells, start overgrowing. It's if you look at under the microscope, it's like a tumor. It's like a neoplasia. And disjunct growth of the skin cells and ulcerations on top of those. So I was talking about the M4s, that's without ulcerations, but from the M4 stages you get little ulcers, and then it crosses over and closes the cycle to result in new M2 stages with or without signs of chronicity. So this goes in a circle, and there seem to be cows that are prone, genetically prone, to have a repeat lesions and have the predisposition towards forming signs of chronicity. So there's a strong genetic component that has been published about, and so this environmental plus genetic predisposition is something that contributes to the periodic nature of these stages of DD.
Obviously, digital dermatitis, a major cause of lameness. What are some of the other, you know, negative impacts a farm might experience if they have a lot of cows that are dealing with digital dermatitis? I mean, what does that mean for overall herd health or productivity?
Yeah, so we found during studies back in 2015, and I think this has been confirmed, that if a heifer pre-calving has had an episode of digital dermatitis, she's on average during her first, after her first calving, on average about 21 days open longer before she conceives. So there are reproduction consequences. She will lose on average during her first lactation between 450 and 500 kilograms of milk. So that's about 700, 800 pounds. And these are virtual pounds and losses. So we believe that in addition to the acute losses due to a case of digital dermatitis, there are chronic consequences that go along with those mechanical disturbances of horn formation. So think about wall abscesses, sole abscesses. So all these long-standing claw conditions that somehow can be connected with digital dermatitis as well. So I believe that any economic estimations with regards to the consequences of digital dermatitis are an underestimate of what is really happening. And thorough evaluation of these economic consequences is in order.
clearly, with short-term and long-term consequences, there is a big benefit for dairies to prevent digital dermatitis. I know you've touched on a few prevention strategies, but maybe let's sum up now, like, what can dairies do both with hoof health and then maybe facilities and all the different aspects? Like, what can farms do to help prevent digital dermatitis?
I think this starts with an awareness that digital dermatitis starts much earlier than the severely lame cow in mature cow during her lactation. Digital dermatitis often starts on endemically affected farms already pre-first calving. The first lesions can be are usually seen after after heifers return from heifer growers where they have been mixed. They have been under very little observation. They come back from the heifer growers and display these very chronic lesions due to DD. So awareness of early forms of digital dermatitis, I think, is very important when you want to prevent DD in the pre-calving heifers. Awareness of this cyclicity, of this periodicity of the disease, the coming and going, the consequences for horn growth. And then preventive measures means good hoof trimming, even in pre-calving heifers if you have to. I talked about early detection and prompt treatment of the individual case of DD, preferably as early as possible during the M2 stages that don't show signs of chronicity already. And then very commonly done are these disinfecting foot baths. We have to think about how to design the foot bathing trough, how to place them strategically, and how to use them consequently and systematically at regular intervals. And if you think about the design of foot bathing troughs, I think you have to think about long designs for these foot bathing troughs so that cows, whether those are heifers or lactating cows, they enter the trough and they dunk their feet twice, where the depth of the foot bathing fluid is about 6 inches, 6 centimeters, 4 inches, so that they immerse their dew claws while they're dunking their feet. You have to have a regimen of how many cow passes are allowed before you have to change that fluid of your foot bath. And there are numbers between 150 and 300 cows before you have to change your foot bath. My lab at UW-Madison, we offer a service where you sample your foot bathing fluids at 0, 50, 100, and so forth cows or at regular intervals. And then we culture those foot bathing fluids and advise you as to how many cows we think you can afford given your leg hygiene and prevalence of DD, the measures and dimensions of your foot bath. How many cows can you afford to have passed through the same foot bathing fluid before you advise to change or replenish that? And I want to say again, I strongly believe that the environment in the form of quality of walking surfaces, the stockmanship of not pushing cows too much, particularly on defective walking surfaces, those are preventive measures for digital dermatitis and all infectious claw diseases like foot rot. Those are very important and people are very often not aware of that. So, for example, when I look in at the back of cow's feet and I see a lot of mechanically induced heel horn flaps loose at those heels, I know there's someone pushing the cows, making them make sudden turns, overstretching that interdigital skin and therefore causing microtrauma. So preventing digital dermatitis and claw diseases in general means low stress stockmanship and a good adaptation of how cows walk. If you think about walking surfaces, then you should be thinking about the waiting areas for cows before they enter a conventional milking parlor, but waiting areas in front of milking robots as well. If I see, for example, that there are skid marks of cows that are longer than 4 feet, I know that cows are taking sudden breaks on surfaces that are not optimal. And you can compensate for that by having them walk slowly, not waiting for too long, not having hierarchical fights in waiting areas. Those are all preventive measures to prevent, among other things, digital dermatitis in large populations. And I mentioned the hoof trimmer before, right? Having an informed hoof trimmer is crucial for the prevention of many of these diseases, for sure. And for the, of course, for the resolution and control, check up repeatedly about how different treatments actually work out. It all works together. I want to mention feed supplements that are being used to prevent digital dermatitis or to extend the time until outbreaks happen by strengthening that skin barrier between the environment and the host cow. Feed supplements are part of that. And people should be aware that they can be used strategically on the endemically affected farms.
There are so many aspects that go into hoof health, from facilities to feed to hoof care, that, I mean, there is certainly a lot to pay attention to and be aware of. And I really appreciate you going through those many different areas to help dairy producers and dairy consultants understand what can be done to prevent digital dermatitis and lameness in general in our hardworking dairy cattle.
One more remark there. I did not mention products that are used in foot bathing fluids, right? And I want to say that there are controversies about how to use foot bathing fluids and the chemicals. Think about copper sulfate that has environmental consequences when you dump the remains of a foot bath into the environment. So overusing copper sulfate foot baths, particularly at very extremely acid pHs, that's not conducive to preventing DD. And foot baths should never be used for treating DD. I have to say that as well. So to me, extremely acid pHs in foot bathing fluids are not desirable and not necessary, because copper sulfate actually dissolves sufficiently at room temperature when it is mixed well in well-designed foot bathing troughs. Then formalin is another product that is often used, which is carcinogenic. And so you have to handle the highly concentrated industrial barrels of formalin very carefully, using PPE, personal protective equipment, and be very conscientious of the carcinogenic action of formalin and the fumes that might be set free and that workers might be exposed to. But then there are alternatives to these very commonly used products that, in my opinion, can be used strategically after having broken the transmission cycle of DD. You can use foot bathing chemicals that are alternatives to copper sulfate and formalin and use them efficiently. But many of these products don't have a good reputation because they don't break that cycle of first transmission. And then I get phone calls and say, well, the bacteria have grown resistant to whatever I do, so the foot bath doesn't work anymore. And if you really ask careful questions, and often it's a design question of the foot bath, it's how they mix and what concentration people are using in these foot baths, and when they use which type of products. I think careful evaluation of that, given the state within which a farm is in their cycle and combat against DD, that's very, very important.
Thank you for that addition. Looking to the future, do you see this problem of digital dermatitis on dairy farms getting better or worse?
Short answer, I don't think that digital dermatitis is going away anytime soon. Many efforts towards developing a vaccine have failed so far that I'm aware of. The farms that I've witnessed to obtain a degree of control in terms of efficiently preventing and controlling DD are the farms where there is a very low tolerance for active lesions, very low tolerance and awareness of the chronicity of this disease, the recurrence of the disease, and high awareness of having to prevent DD already in the pre-calving heifers. Those are all factors that contribute to successful prevention and control. And then putting these pieces of the puzzle together, we actually have quite a few handles that are very labor intensive, but do yield a good outcome in the end, long term. Prevention and control of digital dermatitis is a long term endeavor and not a question of acquiring a new miracle magic bullet that promises to eliminate this disease. I have never seen any of that work.
Is there any technology that is coming down the pipeline that could help in the detection of digital dermatitis?
Yes. I think if we are talking about systematic and early detection of digital dermatitis lesions, what is coming up are artificial intelligence supported camera models that actually detect those classes, those M stages of digital dermatitis. And that is not only the very severe lesions, but even the less severe lesions that are worth our time to treat immediately and promptly in order to prevent those signs of chronicity. So camera models can be located at the entrance of a milking parlor, at the exit of a foot bath. We have them on mobile phones right now, and we can apply them in different settings for training people. So I think we will hear more about artificial intelligence-based support and enhancement of our detection systems.
It's amazing to witness all the technology that's being developed that can help us better manage our herds and identify illness and problems in individual cows. So thank you for highlighting something that we can be watching for in the future. I would like to thank Dr. Dorte Dopfer from the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine for sharing her knowledge on this episode of the Herd It Here podcast. This information will benefit dairy cattle and the people who work with them. This episode of the Herd It Here podcast is sponsored by HoofSync. You can find this and other episodes of our podcast on our website at hordes.com. Through e-newsletters, webinars, podcasts, and the printed pages of Hordes Dairyman magazine, it is our goal to share useful and proven information that farmers can utilize on their operations. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Herd It Here podcast.